Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Monday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots of local news to catch you up on, and we're going to begin with some from the Orange County Sheriff's Office about a variety of thefts from around the community regarding vehicles. With another catalytic converter reported stolen over this weekend, the county has now seen at least 8 thefts of the vehicle part in February. The Sheriff's Office warns that people should be aware of these, and they encourage folks to park in places that are either secured or well lit, specifically during the evening hours. Catalytic converters have risen in value to thieves over the past few years because of the precious metals found in them that filter emissions from car engines. Located underneath the body, thieves often cut them off with saws and then sell them to recyclers who extract the metals. Hybrid cars like Toyota Priuses are often targeted because they have more of those metals, being a mix of gasoline and electric, and those metals like rhodium, palladium, and gold are stored in there and can be very, very valuable per ounce on various markets. We have a number to call if you have any information regarding these recent catalytic converter thefts by going to our news article on chapelboro.com about this recent string of crimes. Also, over the weekend, the Chapel Hill Police Department shared the name of the victim who died following a shooting at Camelot Village Apartment on Friday. 21-year-old Deary William Bourne of Chapel Hill died from injuries sustained after multiple gunshots were reported by police. The department arrested Mebane resident Jermaine Chance, who is also 21 years old, on several felony charges in connection to the incident, including first-degree murder. Chance made his first court appearance in Orange County today. Shifting to some related state legislature news, State Senator Chuck Edwards revealed legislation last week that would reduce state funding to cities that decrease their law enforcement budgets. The bill proposed comes amid discussions of defunding the police or reexamining public safety in this age of a racial justice movement, and the bill proposes a city's governing board would no longer have the choice to reduce law enforcement funding by more than 1% of that city's annual budget without losing that same amount of funding from the state. Now, this comes as several of our local governments are examining the roles of their public safety departments. The town of Carrboro is one of those, and it recently established a public safety task force to recommend changes to the town council. Our Chapelboro news team has some reporting on what elected officials for Carrboro are saying about this proposed legislation in North Carolina, and you can read that by going and checking out our featured article on chapelboro.com. In other state news, we know North Carolina's vaccine supply slowed to a crawl last week due to the winter storms across the country. We now know the federal government told the state on Friday to expect its usual shipments during their normal windows this week. First doses come on Mondays through Wednesdays, while second doses arrive Thursdays and Fridays. It's unclear whether this will be a backlog of vaccine shipments that will lead to North Carolina being able to make some appointments that might have been missed last week or anything along those lines, but we know that it will certainly be a welcome boost as the state's vaccination efforts continue ahead of initial members in Group 3 becoming eligible to make appointments on Wednesday. Governor Roy Cooper said last week that despite those delays, Group 3 is still going to go ahead with their timeline of this Wednesday and then the rest of the group beyond education personnel starting their applications on March 10th. And North Carolina as a whole surpassed 2 million coronavirus vaccine doses administered last week, bringing the percentage of the population vaccinated in the state to nearly 12%. Now, with those limited supplies of COVID-19 vaccine, some North Carolinians are posing the question, if you've already had COVID and have a baseline of antibodies, do you really need both doses of the vaccine? Dr. Becky Smith is the medical director of infection prevention and control at Duke Hospital. At a recent panel, she said 20 to 30% of those who were previously infected and have since recovered from COVID have low levels of antibodies, particularly neutralizing antibodies. But Smith explained, almost everyone who gets the vaccine has even higher levels of these neutralizing antibodies, especially after receiving a second dose.
So if you have had COVID before, as with many of our answers, it depends. Some studies out there have shown that if you had asymptomatic or mild infection, you will have lower levels of the important neutralizing antibodies that later protect you against seeing COVID again, versus more severe infection. So some people have said, wow, if you already had COVID, why don't you just get one booster vaccine? And will that equal, enough protection as the two in the series that are currently available to us? And I think the answer is we don't have enough data to say that that's safe. I think we look to our CDC and other scientific experts to help advise us on that. But I think for now, sticking with the original plan of two doses of the vaccines available for maximum efficacy is a good strategy, and we should continue to work with that in mind.
Once again, Dr. Becky Smith, the Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control at Duke Hospital, speaking there. Time to take a look at sports around our community, and we had a whole lot of UNC programs in action this past weekend. Let's start with UNC baseball and softball, who each got their seasons started on Friday. For the Diamond Heels, new head coach Scott Forbes' tenure really could not have started out any better. Carolina swept James Madison over three games this weekend, including a 3-2 victory Sunday afternoon at the Bosch. Softball had five games over this weekend. They went 4-1 through them. The Tar Heels swept Boston College in a doubleheader Friday before splitting two games with Syracuse on Sunday. And then to claim the series victory, Carolina won in comeback fashion against the Orange 4-2. Both UNC lacrosse programs were in action as well, and neither had too many problems in their games. The top-ranked Tar Heels women's team moved to 10 straight victories with a 9-5 win over High Point. That winning streak dates back to the 2020 season, where they went undefeated in an abridged spring season. The men's lacrosse team also held control in their win against Richmond on the road 14-9. They now sit at 4-0 on the season. Moving to the hardwood now, the UNC women's basketball program could not quite recreate their performance against number 4 NC State that led to an upset victory the last time the two teams met. The Wolfpack handled the Tar Heels pretty easily Sunday afternoon, 82-63, the final score there. The loss snaps a three-game winning streak for Courtney Banghart's program, but Carolina's going to look to bounce back Thursday night against Georgia Tech. That game tips off at 6 p.m. You're going to be able to hear it right here on 97.9 The Hill. The same can be said for the men's program, which has a game the night before on Wednesday against Marquette. That game just got added over the weekend as the Heels were seeking an opponent to replace Boston College, whose game on Tuesday was postponed against the Heels. So Marquette traveling to Chapel Hill, that game's going to tip off at 7 p.m. You're going to be able to hear our coverage beginning here with Countdown to Tip-Off at 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. Men's basketball team in action had their strongest performance of the season, winning in a blowout fashion and falling just 1 point short of triple digits on the scoreboard. The Heels made light work of the shorthanded Louisville Cardinals team, winning 99-54, and it looked the most like Roy Williams' Tar Heel style more than any other game that the Heels have played in this season so far. 97.9 The Hill's Avery Trendle has more on how the game unfolded.
Although Louisville has been among the ACC's most talented teams for much of the season, the Cardinals looked a lot like a team that hadn't played a game in nearly 3 weeks, with this their first game since February 1st. The Tar Heels were much more active right from the jump on Saturday, looking like a team that sought out an opponent on Twitter earlier in the week because it wanted to play so bad. Freshman guard Kerwin Walton sank 4 of his 5 three-pointers and tallied 14 of his career-high 19 points in the first half as UNC built a commanding 48-29 halftime lead. Forward Dayron Sharp, another talented Tar Heel freshman, also had 12 of his team-high 21 points in the first half on a night where head coach Roy Williams' team looked as efficient on offense as it has all season long.
Most of it was Kerwin and Dayron, and Kerwin made 4 out of 5 in one stretch there, and then took it to the basket and made one off the dribble drive in the open floor as well. But I've said all along that I think our freshmen are going to be good players. My request is to do it during my lifetime, and today it was in the first half. So hope I get to see more than that before I kick out.
Williams has often criticized his young team's assist-to-turnover ratio, but the Tar Heels were locked in against Louisville. All 10 of UNC's primary rotation players recorded at least one assist, while the team set a new season high with 29 assists and turned the ball over just 11 times. The Tar Heels also shot a season-best 61% from the floor and racked up their two highest-scoring halves of the season in what was by far their most impressive showing to date. Louisville never threatened to come closer in the second half as UNC used the final minutes of the game to practice alley-oops on the fast break, a perfect metaphor to describe how easy the Tar Heels made this win look.
For us, we shot the ball well, which we haven't done very often this year, and we didn't turn it over very much, 29-11. Those are the kind of things that we've been trying to emphasize more than anything. But again, we caught a team that didn't have their game legs today.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Avery Trendle.
You heard Avery and Coach Roy mention Kerwin Walton's efforts in that game against Louisville. He hit 5 3-pointers in the game, which is the most a single Tar Heel has hit in a single game this season. In addition to that performance and his 14-point outing on Tuesday against Northeastern, that weekly effort led to the ACC naming Walton the Freshman of the Week earlier this afternoon. UNC and Duke fans are certainly rivals when it comes to athletics, but in a new initiative focused on finding treatments and cures for metastatic breast cancer, they are being pitted against each other to work instead as teammates in a bigger cause. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has more.
The Susan G. Komen Metastatic Breast Cancer Research Initiative is working to raise $1 million to find treatments and cures for metastatic breast cancer. Each year, 44,000 women and men die from the disease. Pam Cole is the director of the initiative.
We have two world-renowned research centers 8 miles apart at Duke and UNC who are doing phenomenal work on breast cancer research. And we are raising funds to develop a program that will inspire, catalyze, motivate UNC and Duke researchers to work together to find treatments and cures for metastatic breast cancer.
With $100,000 to go, the initiative is calling on Tar Heel and Blue Devil fans to step up with their program Blues Unite, which began February 5th, the date of the first UNC-Duke basketball game. Cole says she hopes the initiative will reach the $1 million mark by March 6th, the day of the second UNC-Duke basketball game.
We thought, what better way to support a collaborative research initiative at Duke and UNC than to get Duke and UNC fans involved? And we think we should have a little bit of friendly rivalry as to which fan base can raise the most amount of money to help save lives.
Through the Komen website, fans can make donations by choosing which basketball team to align with. All funds raised go towards funding collaborative grants for Duke Cancer Institute and UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center to work together to find cures for metastatic breast cancer. The cause means a lot to Cole, who has been battling the disease for 4 years herself. Currently, there is no cure, only treatment to prevent the disease from spreading further through the body. When one drug fails, patients must move to a different one. She says she hopes bringing Duke and UNC researchers together, they can find cures.
Breast cancer is smart and tenacious and does not want to give up, and neither will we.
While the initiative will see which fan base can raise the most money in a friendly competition, Cole says when Duke and UNC are willing to work together, everyone wins. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Thanks so much for that report there, Ava. In some other health news, obviously COVID-19 vaccinations are the main focus for most people at the moment. But if you need to get tested either asymptomatically or if you're worried you might have COVID-19, Orange County is offering testing every weekday at 9 to 5 at two different locations. You can go to the Witted Building in Hillsboro and the R7 parking lot in Chapel Hill for a free COVID-19 test. If neither of those locations or times work for you, just head to orangecountync.gov and head to their COVID-19 page for a full list of testing sites and times that are available throughout Orange County.